evening, everyone. Good evening. You have tuned into Paradigm Shifters. My name is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. And my guest tonight is very exciting for energy counselors. I have just taken the course that she's going to talk about, which is called Reconnective Healing. I think a lot of you know that there are some amazing downloads coming through the universe, all over the universe is what I hear. And if you can connect with them, you can actually connect with the grids that help you be a universal being. That's a simplistic way of putting it, but Christine Upchurch is going to explain more of it to us right now. Welcome to the show, Christine. How are you doing?
Thanks, Veronica. I'm doing well. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm really excited to talk to you, so I'm quite happy, actually.
Yes, and it's only been a few weeks since you took the class, right?
That's right, and I have practiced and practiced. Christine's one of the main people that's teaching reconnective healing that came through Eric Pearl, and I attended the class in L.A. a couple of weeks ago, and I'm very excited about its products. So what got you going on reconnective healing, and what is it really?
Well, let's see. First, Veronica, my path to reconnective healing wasn't the most direct. I'm a former research statistician, and I was going about my sensible life with my sensible career, doing a really good job as a statistician. And then I happened to experience the early stages of lymphoma, a type of cancer. And it was a strange kind of cancer in that doctors said, you know what, we don't like to treat it early because it tends to shorten a person's lifespan, we think, on average. So what we're going to do is we're going to wait and watch until it gets to be bad enough, and then we'll start you on chemotherapy.
So that's pretty nerve-wracking, isn't it?
Oh, my gosh, yes. And then I went, you know, being an analytic, I went to the medical literature and read about it. And what the doctor did not tell me, but they say in the medical literature, is they keep the person on chemotherapy the rest of his or her life. And so I was, like, thrown into this abyss of, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And I decided I was going to see if I could take control of my own healing. Now, this is back in the days before reconnective healing actually even existed on the planet. And I decided, well, I was going to use visualization and clear out some of my emotional issues and see if I could heal myself. And over the course of 2 years, I did exactly that. Without any medical treatment at all, I healed myself of cancer. And it was an important step on my journey because it led me down a path of exploration of healing. And I'm fascinated by healing. And ultimately, it led me to reconnective healing back about 8 years ago. And I felt like I was coming home. I was in a training seminar, and we were going through one of the exercises, as you were doing a couple of weeks ago, and I felt like I was home in a really deep sense. So I thought, gosh, you know, this is wonderful. I want to go do this, and I went from statistician to reconnective healing practitioner and ultimately became a part of the teaching staff, and now I'm one of three people besides Eric Pearl who teaches this, and I feel such gratitude for being able to do this because by my teaching others, it allows there to be this ripple effect of others touching many others. And so it's, you know, we want to get this across the planet because it creates shifts, as I know you know.
Mm-hmm. I sure do. Well, you know what? I just wanted to compare it to, say, Shaktipat. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I haven't heard of that.
Okay, so if you go to a great guru in India and you look into their eyes, you get this energy thing.
Right.
And that creates a higher frequency energy in people.
Uh-huh.
And there's something about the way the reconnection works that's kind of like that. I go, oh, my gosh, or like oneness, like the Diksha.
Yes.
And it's different in another way in that, well, we'll have to give people some kind of definition or experience, but it seems like it's easier to receive it and to get it working than in some systems. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that when you look into somebody's eyes who has a very high vibration, it can help us become entrained with that vibration, if you will. There's something about working with these frequencies, with the reconnective healing frequencies. We're immersed in them in a seminar setting. We're immersed in them during a healing session. And it's like this reminder of how to vibrate at this new level, at this level of balance and wholeness, connection to source.
Hmm. And the thing with me is that I'm an intuitive, and I am very conscious of the fact that there are these amazing downloads coming through the universe.
Yeah.
And somehow the reconnection makes sense of it. Would you explain about the axiotonal
grid system, axiotonal lines?
Okay. I mean, I'm very excited about all that because it sort of makes logical sense too, doesn't it?
It does. And first of all, we don't know exactly how this works, although we have some scientific research and there's lots of experience out there with results. We don't know exactly how this works. As you know, Eric was a chiropractor going about his normal business, and after a strange series of events, suddenly there was something that shifted within him. His patients could feel his hands. People were feeling the presence of some other beings or somebody else in the room. And people began to have amazing healings. And ultimately, Eric Pearl discovered that you can share these healing frequencies with others and teach others to do this work. So it's something that's very, very easy to learn. But in terms of what might be going on, there are a couple of portions of the Book of Knowledge, The Keys of Enoch, by J.J. Hertog that pertain to this work. And in fact, J.J. Hertog himself once introduced Eric and said for the first known application of anything in this book, I'd like to introduce Dr. Eric Pearl, because he's talking about reconnective healing and the reconnection. And what it says in this book is that, you know, there will come a time on Earth. This was back in 1973 when he had this downloaded into him. He claims to have actually been taken somewhere. Now, this is not, I mean, this man has, I think, 2 or 3 PhDs, a really intelligent man. He claims to have been taken somewhere and had this book of knowledge downloaded into him. And it talks about, in this book, it talks about 54 types of future science. And one of the things they talk about is that at some point the Earth will be aligned so that essentially we will be able to download more. And part of it, what it says, is it will come through our axiotonal systems, which is a new meridian system. So essentially, we've got this energetic grid way, if you will. You know, you might want to call it the divine matrix. And by tapping into the reconnective healing frequencies, with reconnective healing and the reconnection, it allows our body, mind, spirit, if you will, to be overlaid with this new meridian system, which is our axiotonal system. But unlike the meridian system of Chinese medicine, it doesn't end at the edges of the body. These are pathways that go beyond our body to connect us with the ley lines, the energy grid system of the Earth, as well as the axial system, the energy gridways of the rest of the universe, so that we can be more fully connected to Source, so that our bodies, minds, and spirits can be more in balance. And so that's
like
where
we can hear. We can communicate with our many dimensions, would you say?
Yes, absolutely. It's a wonderful way of putting it. And for those of us who've been involved with the work, it's for a long time, we've discovered that working with these frequencies not only tends to put us into better health and happier relationships and better balance in various aspects of our lives, but, yeah, we do seem to be tapping into that alternate universe, parallel universe, dimensions beyond the 4 dimensions of space and time, whatever it is. And yes, we tend to get more of these downloads, and we're often aware of them, and sometimes we're not aware of them at all until afterwards. It's like, wow, something has shifted dramatically, and I'm not sure when or where that occurred.
So you were already you already helped yourself out of a situation of cancer. Have you gone through some other huge changes since you started doing this?
Oh, my goodness, yes. I mean, first of all, I've found myself walking through all sorts of fears. Now, to the average listener, they might think, well, you know, that's no big deal. But if we really start to analyze ourselves, how fear-based each and every one of us in this society tend to be, it's just amazing. My life, my choices were so based on fear. Fear of not earning enough money otherwise, fear of not pleasing other people. I mean, there, you know, a huge, long laundry list of fears. Mm-hmm. And it's helped me to walk through many of those fears. And, of course, I'm not done yet because I'm still here in this human body. But
you to rush away now.
Trust me, you know, I don't think that's going to happen in the near future. But it's really about showing up and playing our role here at this crucial time. And for me, that's what my connection with these frequencies has meant. It's, you know, okay, so yes, I'm less emotionally reactive, and yes, I tend to be in better physical health. But I'm also feeling like I'm downloading what I need to download, and I'm shifting in ways that are appropriate for me to do what I need to do at this crucial time.
Hmm. And do you have a lot of clients, or do you usually teach classes, or how do you deal with it?
Well, you know, I'm seeing fewer clients these days. I have a certain limited number of hours that I devote to my private practice, because I'm so involved with the teaching at this point. And, you know, I travel the world to teach this. And it's great because it's watching others discover this. And it really is a discovery process, isn't it, Veronica?
It sure is.
Yeah,
it blew my socks off.
Oh, my goodness. You get there and you think, okay, you know, I hear that this is new and different. And they're saying this, and, oh, I've heard this before. And you show up, and it's like, oh, my gosh. Not only do you feel it, but you see it, and it's like, whoa. Even the skeptical people by the end of the weekend tend to be so in awe of this.
Well, you'll like this. I have some friends who are very skeptical. They're in the healing mode, and they're really big time, and I won't mention names. But they were very skeptical about it, and I said I was going to the reconnection in L.A., and they said, oh, yeah, I hear it's really a scam and blah, blah, blah. So afterwards, I went to visit them because, of course, I was in L.A. about a week and a half after, and they each asked for a session.
Uh-huh.
So I gave it to them, and today I heard that they're going to travel to take the classes because they're both in the healing mode. So
yeah.
I was honored because, A, I'm kind of a neophyte, although I've done a lot of healing work, you know.
Right.
But, B, they were very skeptical and really harshly speaking about it. And, C, they're excited, you know.
And, you know, I welcome any and all skeptics into the seminars, into my session room. It's funny because belief in this is not required for people to be affected by this. I've seen some of the most amazing healings in my session room with people who've been dragged in by their loving spouse, and they cross their arms and they make very clear, I don't believe in this woo-woo work. And it's like, okay, that's all right, but relax. And then they experience amazing physical healings that are, you know, documented and very obvious. And also in a seminar setting, I've seen people shift dramatically from those who are master healers of other modalities, and there's some wonderful modalities out there, who think, you know, this they're saying this is new, this is more. And then by the end of the weekend, it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm accessing so much more. But also the skeptics who don't have a clue as to how they ended up in this seminar, it's so out of line with their personality, and then they discover it, and they begin to step into their mastery with this work. It's a beautiful thing to observe, and it's
really
a joy
is.
For me to help to facilitate that process.
And I don't know if you remember this in the middle of all that you were doing, but I arrived there in L.A. from Bellingham with my cousin who's from Canada, and
yes.
We hadn't really spent time together for 40 years. And so it was literally a reconnection for us.
Right.
And when she was working in a group of people in one of the exercises, there were two other people, and she were working together.
Uh-huh.
And we had heard that sometimes one-on-one works better and is more efficient than three-on-one.
Uh-huh.
But we were all practicing. Anyway, they worked on somebody who, very few minutes, who couldn't walk anymore, and he mm-hmm. got up and he walked.
Yes.
Did you hear that story?
I hadn't heard that story, but I've heard so many like that, and I know it's going to surprise and amaze many of your listeners, but for those of us who are integrally involved with this work, it's not surprising. It's wonderful, and it keeps us in awe of the, you know, the power of this work, but it's not surprising anymore.
Oh, that's great. I feel there's so much I want to talk about, too. I had a very interesting experience one night because I was traveling for visiting a friend who was dying, actually, and also doing the reconnection and visiting an aunt and reconnecting with relatives and blah, blah, blah. And I was not sleeping. I was sleeping like 4 or 5, maybe 6 hours a night if I was really lucky.
Right.
And one night I thought, okay, well, I'll just do the reconnection. So I'm lying in bed, and I did it. And I'm telling you something very bizarre that I've told you. I've told this to Christine before, that three times when I've done the reconnection or Christine did it for me, Eric Pearl would show up in my vision. Do you remember that?
Right, I do remember that.
Yeah, and I don't know what to make of that. But in any case, because I know he's not a guide or any of these great
right.
mystical things. And he's very careful to say that. He doesn't want to be that, and I know that. But anyway, I'm lying in bed, and it's middle of the night, and I started to do the reconnection. And there is Eric Pearl right above me again.
Uh-huh.
And I'm telling you something. My whole body turned into this light.
Mm-hmm.
And I lay there, and I was just shimmering in this light. And then all of a sudden, he said, "That's it." And then, bam, he turned and walked away. And my light went poof. So there's something absolutely, I was just delighted. I couldn't wait to tell everybody the next morning when I got up. But it's
a great story. Well, you know, what you were actually doing was reconnective healing. You were doing self-healing. The reconnection is a different process. But both
It isn't the same thing?
No, the reconnection is a very specific process of overlaying this new axitonal, this new meridian system, and uses the same frequencies. It's hands off, whereas reconnective healing is very free form. And as you were, just talking about now, you were doing self healing, and it is very powerful. And actually, in years ago, when I was thinking about not moving forward as a practitioner, I actually felt like I had a visitation from Eric in one of my dreams, and he was sitting in my waiting room and sitting there, and when I woke up, I knew that it was a sign that I was supposed to continue doing it. And
that's I've taken it, too.
Yeah, exactly, and I don't think it's Eric per se, because it's not his style, but I think it's symbolic to those of us who interact with these frequencies that, okay, well, here's the first person who ushered this onto the planet. You know, he was like the door through which these frequencies initially came. And his presence is saying, oh, by the way, you're supposed to be doing this.
Well, I think also he's cheeky enough and he's dramatic enough. if he could go out and be that entertaining with his higher self, he'd do it in a heartbeat. So I'm not sure he doesn't want to do that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I haven't figured out what the difference is between reconnective healing and the
reconnection.
Reconnective
healing is what you learn to do in the Level 1-2 seminar, and it's what I'm teaching in Seattle November 6th and 7th. It's you interact with these frequencies, you discover how to interact with them, you feel, you observe what's happening to the person on the table, and it's fun, Veronica, isn't it, getting to see people lying on the table having physical responses as you're just kind of playing with this?
Yes, their eyes are flipping around. And
or their breathing shifts or whatever, and so, and then we stretch it out, because as you guys can show for yourselves on day two of the seminar, it tends to increase with distance. This is more than energy, because as you move farther away, unlike energy, this increases with distance. So it's a very free-form thing where you're feeling, you're observing, you're moving according to what feels right, you're remaining in this sort of childlike awe and playing in that arena, if you will. With the reconnection, it's what we teach in Level 3. It's a very specific process where we are overlaying over 100 very specific points and lines. It utilizes the same frequencies. It's hands-off, but it's a specific pattern.
And is that like, in the book, The Reconnection, Eric Pearl, in his search, met that woman who... I used to study the Keys of Enoch, actually, when I was living
really?
In Tucson. Yes. But in any case, he talks in the book about meeting the woman who, what is it? She drew patterns on him. She was sort of an amazing character.
It was called an axiotonal alignment. And, he met this gypsy woman on the beach, and, she did tarot card reading or something, and she says, as a healer, you should have this process done that I do called an axiotonal alignment. Mm-hmm. And anyway, to make a long story short, he had this two-session process where he had lines and points drawn fingertips onto the body. And that's what was like the key that unlocks the door for these frequencies to come through. It was the strange
It's like
event.
Waking up our activation points. Is that what it is?
They had done this to a lot of different people, and nobody except Eric had this dramatic transformation. So you know, for whatever reason, it was like this key that went from door to door to door to door and finally found Eric and was like, okay, you know, this is the right one. This will get activated and will shift the planet with these frequencies. So, but ultimately, Eric got to be very curious. I mean, he's an intellectual man who, you know, he's a chiropractor, and he knew that he'd had this process, and he developed reconnective healing and was seeing amazing results with that. But he ultimately went back to the Gypsy Woman's teacher, and then she taught the axitonal alignment, and she was rather inconsistent, which after meeting Eric, you probably get the idea that that didn't go over really well. She'd say, oh, do it this way, and then she'd go over to the next table, oh, do it that way. And meanwhile, Eric's following her around and listening very intently. And finally he said, you know what, you're saying this way over here and that way over there, which way is it? And she's like, well, that was then and this is now. And so he got very frustrated, took his hands off the body, and with his newfound sensitivity and with these frequencies, he began to explore and found that you can actually feel the lines and the points. So people would be coming to him for healing sessions. They'd have their one, two, or three healing sessions. You know, it's not long-term treatment or therapy. It's really about immersing a person in the frequencies and allowing their healing to unfold. But anyway, they said, do you have anything else to offer? And he said, well, I've developed this other thing called the reconnection. So it became a hands-off, frequency-based, quantum-level upgrade of the axiotonal alignment. And we found over time that with reconnected healing, it tends to be about bringing a person back into balance physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. And with the reconnection, it tends to be about pointing a person towards their life path and speeding them along towards the more advanced version of themselves, if you will. So that's the difference.
Well, I'm up for that.
Yeah. I think many of us are, yes.
Yeah, so it's like getting the recognition in your body for those alignments with the grid or the great universal grid, and then from there using it?
I think of it like this, Veronica. When you get brand new software and you have an old computer,
mm-hmm.
with a lot of the software, it doesn't work properly. You know, I've got two kids, and they've been into computer games since they were little. And they'd get the latest and greatest computer game, and, oh, lo and behold, it freezes up, or the video portion doesn't work properly, whatever. And it's like, okay, it's time to get a new computer. You know, this computer's like 3 years old or whatever. The system was old.
Really old.
Yeah. And so I think of it as, you know, this overlaying this pattern, this new axitonal system, it's like creating a new hardware within our body, mind, spirit so that we can download the latest and greatest software and you know, be efficient at running and fully download it and run it properly.
It seems like it's a real, I keep using the word activation, but it seems like it's a real activation system. And I brought my grandson to you.
Uh-huh.
He's only 5 years old. Do you remember that?
I do.
And he didn't know. He's always talking about the Force and so
uh-huh.
on. So I decided he ought to learn. I used to say, well, Grammy knows the Force, which he thought was hogwash. So I brought him to Christine, and it was so amazing because you worked on him. The first thing you did is he said, that makes me giggle. And then he goes, okay, now I want to go to sleep. Remember?
Yes, I do remember that.
And this is all like minutes. Anyway, after when we were leaving, we were caught in a typical traffic jam there. And I said, hey, Dade, can you help me? Because Grammy's really in an awful traffic jam. And it feels bad. And will you do some energy? So he lifted
uh-huh.
his little hand. And there he was, moving his fingers and sending energy to me. And I was just a buzzing. And I felt lifted and expanded.
Yeah.
So you just activated him in that one little session.
It's really about getting reminded, I think. You know, when I said that when I first learned this, it felt like coming home, I think that on some level it just reminds us of how to vibrate closer to source, if you will. And with children, they pick it up really quickly. And in fact, one of the most amazing healing stories I really had very little to do with, I was working on a six-year-old boy who was just absolutely curious about what was going on, and so I let him feel it in his hands. We played a few games, and he came back and said, oh, yeah, I'm having fun playing with the energy ball, as he called it. And this is something like what we teach in Reconnective Kids, but this was before Reconnective Kids existed. And so, you know, he was going home, and he was playing with this, and he ended up having a physical healing himself, but it was from chronic constipation. and which was great because he'd been hospitalized twice. It was a sort of a bad situation.
6 years old. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but he had a little sister who had a bone disorder, a disease where her bones were becoming weaker and weaker, and the doctors were going to be following the typical protocol, and by age 6, put her into a full body cast for an entire year.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, think about a child of that age and stage being locked within a cast.
Hmm.
Anyway, this little boy went home and, you know, he'd been playing with these frequencies and he interacted with his sister. And I have no idea what went on at home, but this disease had been getting progressively worse. And they go in for their 6-month scans, you know, her 6-month scans, and they saw that it was getting worse and worse. Within a month or two after this boy came in to see me, she had a regular scan, and there was no sign of the disease.
No way.
They called it their Christmas miracle because it happened very near Christmas.
Oh, my. And so it was just a little boy working with her.
Yeah. Her grandmother, his grandmother called me up, and she said, you know, Chris, I don't know how, but it feels like it's somehow related to reconnective healing. And I thought, yeah, of course. You know, it certainly has this pass it on kind of effect, and in the hands of children, oh my goodness, you know, it will go very far.
And are there a number of children's classes to teach, you know, to teach children?
There are. It's called Reconnective Kids, and there mm-hmm. are several instructors across the planet, and it's a wonderful class. It takes, guess how long it takes kids to learn what it takes us adults 2 days.
5 minutes.
Just about, yeah, exactly. Well, the class is officially 2 hours long, and, I mean, kids
Wow.
just pick it up. They don't have to unlearn a bunch of things. They don't have to get beyond their skepticism. Although, you know, I do have two kids, as you know. I've got two boys, and one of them is very intuitive and sensitive and, you know, very open to this sort of thing. And my other child, he's always been very rational, and even when he was like 2 or 3 years old, he didn't want to play any pretend games, you know. He's such a realist. Both my boys at the end of those 2 hours in their class, the Reconnected Kids class, got it.
Wow.
And use it to this day.
Wow. And they're using it in their teenage years and so on?
Yeah, well, it's funny because my oldest son was working on a neighbor friend who's you know, he made these announcements. We, you know, he and his parents and the rest of his family, we don't believe in what your mother does, which I'm fine with. And, you know, my son is fine with. He doesn't have great attachment to it. But then there was one time when this boy had hurt his knee, and it had been hurting him for a couple of days. And my son started just doing a little reconnective healing around him, and the pain went away almost instantaneously. He's like, oh, what did you do? And he starts, you know, running around, and his knee was much better. Yet again, underscoring that you don't have to believe in this work for it to affect you in amazing ways.
So what did his folks do when he came home all healed?
I have no idea, and I have to let go of great, you know, of my attachment to that because, you know, they're members of the medical community, and I've got great respect for what they do. And they're, of course, very respectful of me, but I think that they're thinking I'm really on the fringes. So,
well, you are, actually, but you want to be, don't you?
I don't like to think of it as the fringe. I like to think of it as the cutting edge of information medicine.
Well, I like that a lot. I noticed at the workshop, Eric Pearl, well, I guess, yeah, it was Eric that said it a number of times, is that it's kind of, I'll paraphrase it, you can correct me. It's like these energies are coming through, and we're learning to incorporate them and use the information and so on. And it really is incumbent upon us all to pass it on, right?
Oh, absolutely.
To activate the collective is how I put it.
Well, you know, it's funny because you do have to you do have to interact with these frequencies directly. Some people, they'll pick up Eric's book, which is called The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself, and they will feel a shift. Others, they'll have to come in for a session or come into a seminar. But you have to interact with this directly, and you can't just sit up on a mountaintop and ohm it in. I don't know why. Perhaps we're meant to come together at this time of great shift on our planet. Who knows?
Well, think about the name of it, Reconnection.
Yes. And it's not just, I don't think, about reconnecting with our own, our source, you know, on our individual level. I think it's recognizing that we are connected with each other and the planet and the universe. And the separation on some level is an illusion that we've chosen to climb into, you know, in these human bodies. I don't know. But there's, you know, there's nothing about this work that keeps us from living our normal lives, you know. We can, mm-hmm. there are people who move forward in their very rational-based lives who feel shifted from interacting with these frequencies. And, you know, it's not like everyone who interacts with these frequencies gets to be on the fringes, if you will. I've actually seen people who are, you know, very into a lot of the esoteric things and get drawn to physics and chemistry after interacting with these frequencies. So it's really kind of a mix. But I think that there is an aspect of these frequencies that reminds us of what our path is and what it is we're supposed to be doing.
It sort of activates that authenticity of self,
yeah.
eh?
Yeah.
And the infinite potential of growth. Well, so what about with animals?
Oh, animals, first of all, love this. And, you know, many pets, when you come home from a seminar, they're all over you. And that's the way my cat was when I attended my first seminar. And, you know, the animals don't have to get beyond their belief system. They just was like, oh, cool, this is wonderful. And there are some practitioners who specialize in working with animals. Renee Coltson from Arizona is one of those practitioners. She's actually an associate instructor. Mm. And she tells these amazing stories of, you know, horses who were near death and almost ready to be put down, who've had complete healings and, you know, go on to win races.
And didn't she talk about some of that being in the distance? Like she wasn't actually there, but she said that.
You don't have to be present for healing sessions in terms of, you know, physical presence. This, whether you're working on animals, kids, or adults, and probably plants as well, works at a distance.
So how does distance healing work? Can you explain that?
Well,
that's a cheeky question, you know.
Well, you know, it's something that I talk more fully about in the seminar setting. But it's really about connecting with these frequencies and connecting with the person. And, you know, you don't need to know what their name is, or you don't have to have a lock of hair, or a drop of blood or any such thing. It's really, the universe knows, okay, she's talking, you know, she's doing a healing session on her friend's cousin who was just in a car accident, you know. And if we go through any other rituals, it's like I can just see, you know, whoever's watching us down there is like, okay, there she is making a lot of ritual out of this. This is pretty silly. We already know who it is and what it is you're doing and what it is you're doing. And so just get over yourself, you know. So if
I know Eric Pearl made a lot of jokes about all the ways
he
set up this ritualistic style. He's saying it's really not necessary.
It's not, and it actually gets in the way because many of the rituals really are based on fear. Now, they may look like fear, but they're just, I mean, they may look like love, but it's really love disguised, or fear disguised as love. When you think about calling in God, for instance, there are many healers out there who say, oh, you absolutely must do that. Well, first of all, is God everywhere? And if so, then where do you call God in from, you know? Super target? I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to have to call in God. And, of course, the universe knows exactly what you're up to. And thinking that we need to call in God means that we don't trust that God or universal intelligence, pick whatever word, you know, phrase that you're comfortable with, isn't present already. And, of course, it is. And we just need to recognize that.
Mm-hmm. And Eric Pearl also threw in this other part, which was, you're not really doing anything. So that gets the ego part out of the way. I think a lot of people call in God because you're trying not to be an egomaniac when you do healing work. But he had a beautiful way of explaining that.
Right. And if we feel like we need to be in control and conducting the whole process, then we really do have ego involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about recognizing the beauty of interacting with these frequencies, staying in the moment, and trusting in the wisdom of the universe. We don't direct with this, as you know, And it's really a matter of feeling and observing and being present with that trust and acceptance and letting go of attachment to outcome, which is huge as a practitioner.
So tell me this. If you're working with, say, someone's got, let's be simple, a sore throat or visual problems or something.
Right.
So you don't actually work with them focusing on that particular area. You just relate.
That's right. And in fact, when people call up to schedule appointments or they come in to see me, I make it clear to them that I do not want to know what's going on with them. And, you know, in this symptom-based society, they'll kind of look at me like, what, are you nuts? Don't you care? And what I'll say is, well, as a compassionate human being, I care. But as your reconnective healing practitioner, the less I know, the better off you are. Because if I have attachment to outcome, it can actually diminish the healing. When I let go as a practitioner and trust in the wisdom of the universe knows what is going to serve that person in their highest good. And my trying to control it is actually serving as a filter. And in fact, Veronica, with reconnective healing, the whole mechanism is very different than energy healing modalities. With the energy healing modalities, you basically have the energy come through, and it might come through your head, your heart, but it's typically a process of coming through the person's body or body, mind, spirit, and out typically through the hands. With reconnective healing, we don't serve as that conduit. We're merely a catalyst through our awareness of the process. So the mechanism is very different. The scientists who've evaluated what happens to practitioners, say Reiki practitioners and reconnective healing practitioners, have shown that it's a very different process physiologically for us. And in fact, Veronica, are you familiar with heart math?
Yes, I am.
Yes, mm-hmm. Okay. They've discovered that when we're doing reconnective healing, we get into, almost immediately, we get into that state of emotional quiescence, that state of ultra-awareness that gurus have to spend, you know, dozens of years sometimes to get into that state. Or people who learn heart math go through a long process to learn. But with reconnective healing, we get into that state of that ultra-coherence.
Hmm. And that's just because, see, when I'm just sort of thinking for a minute about how when I... even if I'm driving or if I'm about to work with somebody or even if I'm doing a reading lately, I hope this is all right. But anyway, I'll call in the reconnection. And it's like the whole area just buzzes. It's just most amazing.
I think that regardless of what you're doing, you're now, through your awareness, you're a carrier of the frequencies, if you will, and there's no way to separate out, say, your intuitive work from interacting with the frequencies, and in fact, it'll be interesting to see how you shift over the next, you know, few months, few years, after interacting with reconnective healing.
I just find it's really quite a startling, different thing. It's actually very interesting. So, have you got, like, well, there's a movie called The Living Matrix. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And in that movie, they show a child in Greece who was cerebral palsy.
Yes.
You want to tell that story?
You bet. Well, first of all, The Living Matrix is an amazing movie. I think it's going to do for the nature of healing what the movie What the Bleep did for the nature of reality. But in this movie, they have five or six case studies of amazing healings. Some of them are just, they're fabulous healings. And one of them is after reconnective healing. There's a little boy in Greece. When I met him, his name was Demetrios, which probably means little Dimitri. They refer to him in the movie as Dimitri. And he had cerebral palsy, and, you know, he had to wear those brackets on the legs, and he needed help going up and down stairs. He couldn't hold his own glass to drink even a sip of water.
The way was he about four or something?
He was five.
Okay.
He was five. And his parents were at one of Eric's presentations one night, and he was doing a book signing afterwards, and they said, could you work on our son? And he said, well, I think they're trying to close up the space here, the room here, but I'll probably have a few minutes to work on him. And he worked on him, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 minutes. And then Dimitri was running up and down the stairs on his own. He had another session about a week
makes
later.
You want to cry, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. To make a long story short, Dimitri is now a normal child, climbing, running, jumping, holding his own glass of whatever it is, beverage he wants to drink, and his speech has improved so much that people outside of his immediate family understand what he's talking about. Of course, I didn't understand him because he was speaking Greek.
Were you over in Greece at the time?
I was, yes, and it was interesting because when I was in Greece, Eric wanted to introduce Demetrius to the room on during the Friday night Essence lecture, and it was my job to greet the mother and Dimitri and bring them both in. And I was looking at this woman. Now, as you know, I'm a mother, and I'm looking at her, and she seems really uncomfortable with this concept of going into the room. And there was this language barrier, so I couldn't really fully understand until later. She was uncomfortable because Dimitri, her 5-year-old, was getting into everything. He's like climbing around and he's moving around and stuff. And she was used to a child who was just so contained by his physical problems that he couldn't get into things. And suddenly, overnight, she had this transition to this child who was perfectly normal and getting into everything. And I think that she might have been uncomfortable with this concept of bringing this, what probably seemed like a wild child, he seemed absolutely normal to me, into this room of hundreds of people to, because she thought, well, he wasn't behaving properly. I don't know. I don't know if that was what was in her mind. That's what I picked up based on her body language. And I thought, what a gift for her to suddenly be able to see this. But she had to go through a transition process herself. And, in fact, she came and learned how to do the work herself.
I was just going to ask you, did she do that? Yes,
she did,
great.
Yes.
That's wonderful. So what about some, I really love the story, because that, for people who haven't seen The Living Matrix, it's absolutely beautifully shown there.
It is, and you know, Veronica, one of the interesting things about The Living Matrix is that there are all these case studies, and then there are all these scientists and people like Lynn McTaggart, who are scientific journalists, who are talking mm-hmm. about the nature of healing. And one of the stark comparisons is the time it took for all the other healings versus the time it took with Dimitri and reconnective healing. The other approaches to healing took place over time. It might have been a month and a half to 9 years. But one of the things that scientists are indicating, Bill Tiller has come up with a complete model based on data he's collected at our seminars.
Isn't he a physicist?
Yes, he's a very famous physicist. In fact, he was in What the Bleep, and he was at our mastery conference, and he's a fabulous man, brilliant scientist, and such a kind and interesting human being. Anyway, he's collected data, and he's created a model based on the data he's collected that shows that he thinks what we're doing with reconnective healing is tapping into something that's outside of our space-time continuum. Now, these things that work within space and time have time as an essential ingredient, right? You need
right.
to process things. You need to detox. You need to heal over time. With reconnective healing, he says he thinks we're tapping into what he calls the R space, the reciprocal universe, that part of the universe that's outside of our space-time continuum where, first of all, you don't have the aging and disease and imbalance, but rather the perfection, and time doesn't exist. And there's something that drops down from that reality, he theorizes, into our reality instantaneously, which explains why people can have these amazing healings after just interacting with reconnective healing for a couple of minutes, 20 minutes. It's really interesting. It is a new paradigm of healing.
It's like stepping out of the space-time continuum long
exactly.
enough to make a difference.
Yes.
I was reading the Arcturian Chronicles, which are just a wonderful series of books, and it ends with change the energy, change the reality, which I know is true, and that's what you're talking about, actually, isn't it?
It is. It is. And wow. it's great because one of the wonderful things about reconnective healing is that it's not something we have to, figure out and consciously control. You know, our limited human minds get in the way. Our desire to control and manipulate the universe gets in the way. So with reconnective healing, it's about allowing and interacting in this beautiful moment-to-moment way where we're really taking our egos and our, you know, our controlling nature out of the equation, which is co-creating at a new level.
Mm. And I remember hearing over and over and over again, be playful, play,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Let yourself have fun with it. And that fall back on that. It's only been a couple of weeks for me, but I've worked on a number of people, a number of situations that when I get really intense about it, I go, be playful, have fun.
Yes. And, you know, Veronica, I often think about children who are, say, ages 3 to 4.5. Some child psychologists call that age and stage the little scientist. They're trying to figure out how this universe, the physical reality works, and they're playing with aspects of Newtonian physics, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you give a child a spinning top, you show them how it works, and they'll spin it maybe 50 or 100 times until they feel like they've just begun to master it, and then they get bored, and they'll decide, well, what else can I do with this top? And they'll try spinning it upside down on its handle. They might try rolling it from side to side to see, you know, which trajectory it takes. They might try taking the handle and poking it into their mashed potatoes because they want to see what kind of indentations it makes. You know, it's that kind of focused playtime, which is what I think we're doing with these new frequencies of healing. We're little scientists, if you will, in a new stage of the universe.
Oh, that's so fun, isn't it?
It is. It's supposed to be fun.
You better And it is, actually. I find that I just love to do it. It makes my whole body buzz, even though I'm working on somebody else. Do you find
right.
that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I've experienced some interesting things. And, you know, Eric's book is entitled The Reconnection, Heal Others, Heal Yourself. And many of us have been doing this work and experienced healings of our own while we're, you know, doing a healing session on somebody else.
Because it's a win-win, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
So tell me this. I want you to talk about the up-and-coming workshops. But before that, have you worked with people who have done, say, multidimensional stuff or seeing beyond or that kind of thing? Can you amp that up with the reconnection?
Well, you know, I never know who's going to shift in what ways because it's not up to me. And it didn't come in with a guidebook. However, I certainly know
there
have been
very few guidebooks in this one.
Oh, yeah. And I know that there have been a number of people who have suddenly had the whole channeling aspect of their reality just open up completely. I mean, you know, one woman I know of was after a healing session, she ended up changing her career to becoming a channel because, you know, she had all this information that was downloaded. It like really opened the floodgates for her. And there are many of us who work with these frequencies who've discovered that, yes, by interacting with these frequencies, that it seems to connect us in more multidimensional ways. And that's one of the fun aspects of interacting with these frequencies.
Hmm. And so people actually become intuitively more aligned. Seems to me that we're developing a community of consciousness in throughout the collective is what we're doing with it.
Hmm.
Huh?
Oh, that's an interesting thought, yes.
That's what it seems. So I want you to tell people about the fact that you're going to give a workshop or two workshops in Seattle very soon.
Yes. First of all, I'm going to be giving a couple of presentations in Seattle, in the Seattle area. Thursday night, I'm going to be doing a presentation at East West Bookshop at 7 p.m., and Saturday
this
afternoon.
This coming Thursday?
This coming Thursday. And this coming Saturday afternoon at 3, I'll be doing a presentation at Soul Food Books, which is in Redmond, Washington, here on the east side. Both of these presentations are free of charge. I'll be doing healing demonstrations on people in the audience, giving people an opportunity to feel these frequencies, and giving people some background about what this work is and how it's different. So it's so there are a couple of free presentations coming up, and then on November 6th and 7th, I will be teaching a Level 1-2 seminar, which is will teach people how to interact with these frequencies in a conscious manner. By the end of the 2 days, you'll have all the tools you need to be a master healer, whether you want to apply it to your pets and loved ones, whether you want to go into this professionally, whether you want to just learn how to immerse yourself in these new frequencies of healing for self-healing. And then
you can use
after
it to write a book, right?
Yes, and you interact with these frequencies, and sometimes you get catapulted forward, you know, writing a book that you weren't planning on writing, but that's a whole other story.
Okay, and the second section?
And the second is the Level 3 workshop, which teaches Level 2 practitioners how to facilitate the reconnection. And we talked a little bit about the difference between reconnective healing and the reconnection. And that's November 8th and 9th. Both of these seminars will take place at Hotel Deca. And if anybody wants more information, they can go to www.thereconnection.com or my personal website, which is www.thehealing.com, cuhealing.com. And also, you could call my office at 425-999-9836.
You should probably repeat that so that people who haven't found their pen yet can get it.
Yes, 425-788, giving out my home number, still call me there. No, 425-999-9836. And again, it's thereconnection.com and cuhealing.com.
And you know something, when I was there that one time, and I certainly am coming that weekend that you're presenting in Seattle.
Great.
But I was amazed, and so was my cousin, that the days were extremely long, extremely full. We were buzzing like mad. We didn't sleep much, and we felt great.
Yes.
So it's very kind of invigorating and inspiring and fun.
And you know, Veronica, it's not only fun. I mean, it should be fun. Healing should be a joy.
Yeah.
But scientists have shown that by going through a seminar that a person shifts on average. Typically, a person by the end of the seminar, whether they were a master healer beforehand or just somebody who didn't know why they were there, they emanate more light at the end of the weekend. We're talking biophotons surrounding the body. That translates into better health, better well-being, better balance. Also, people shift in terms of they're able to oscillate a wave by the end of the weekend. I mean, there are shifts that people have, and there are also some self-reported based on survey results that indicate that people shift dramatically in terms of their personal lives and their health, you know, 3 months, 6 months down the road after attending a seminar. So the process of being in these frequencies, where you're immersed in these frequencies, shifts a person.
That's really exciting. Now, we're going to have to go, but I really enjoyed my time with you, and I'm looking forward to November the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th in Seattle.
Great. Can't wait to see you again, Veronica. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
And thank you for being on. It's been delightful. Thank you, Christine, and good night.
Good night.
And I just want to say that was wonderful for me. That's a literal paradigm shifter, and maybe you're going to be one, too. Join Christine in the up-and-coming seminars in Seattle. Also, my next week interview is with C.J. Kalaman, who's talking. He's a very well-studied Mayan scholar, and he's talking about we've entered the seventh day of the Mayan preparation for 2012. I'm very excited to be talking to him. He's been on several times before, so tune in next Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, and we'll talk to you then. See you Thursday night with Jackie Salvitti, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness at 8 o'clock. And 7 o'clock, I'm doing it backwards, is Radiance by Design. It's a call-in show. You get to call in and ask any questions you want of me and my guides and angels. And golly, I'll send some reconnection healing energy out there to you, and it's going to be even better in a few weeks after that. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, email me, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, if you want either a session or you'd like to comment on these shows and take in some wonderful frequency through your breath. Send it out to our community of paradigm shifters, and good night.